Good evening. As has already been mentioned, we have the privilege of having Daniel and Luke Boyd with us here tonight. And we had the privilege of having his parents, David and Christy, here with us back in the spring. And they shared with us. And they were able to be here and to listen to our high school choir and help them with some of the pronunciation for their Dutch on some of the songs they sang back in the concert back in the spring. And so it was great. And about that time they were here, they were also having a camp. And that camp was very good. The Lord did some amazing things, but it was also full of some difficulties and trying times that the Lord saw them through. And so it was good to even hear an update about that tonight. But we've been supporting Daniel and Heather for about 17 years. And so we have also had the privilege of supporting their parents for many more years. And so it's neat to see that heritage of serving the Lord passed down through the family and seeing them reach out and see the gospel made known there in the Netherlands. And so tonight he's going to share with us about what's going on in their lives and their ministry. So Daniel, thank you for being here with us, and come share with us, brother.
Good evening. So there's a really big picture up there in the hallway if you want to have one to take home. I have large stacks that you can take along so you can see them up close, put them on your fridge or wherever you keep them, and be reminded. Most of everyone on this picture is not here tonight, unfortunately. Heather sends her greetings. She would actually do it in Dutch too, say vriendelijke groeten uit Bergen op Zoom or something like that to show off that she has learned how to do that. But we also have stickers, if that's more along what you like to do. You can stick that somewhere and be reminded to pray for us. The one on the, so that side right there, that's all you're going to see tonight. If you go looking for Luke, you'll find him somewhere. The rest, they're not here tonight. The one in the middle, he's at Faith Baptist Bible College in Ankeny, Iowa. We were just there for a missions conference. And I had a really important assignment from Heather because he has a girlfriend now. So I had to investigate, ask a bunch of questions, report back to Heather, ask some new questions, you know how that goes. So I had an important assignment last week as well. But he's 20 and he no longer travels with us. And then the short one of the bunch, that's Heather. She's wonderful. She's ready for me to come home. It's been long enough, she said today, and so we fly out on Friday to go back home. And then all the way on the end is the youngest. That's the one that's always forgotten, but he's the boisterous one. When we come back this summer, which that is our plan, to come back as a family, you will probably not see Luke or Cole because he'll probably be working or something, and so it'll just be the three of us, and you'll have Joel all to yourself, and he's a chatterbox, so if you press play, you're set. So, anyway, ages. Everybody wants to know ages. Cole is 20, Luke is 17, Joel is 15 years old. You can pray for my youngest boys. They are both graduating from high school this year in two separate programs, and Joel is going to continue on with some education in the Netherlands. Luke was able to get free from school and come with us because of the two college campuses I was visiting. And so the school said it was okay for him to go. They did not give permission for Joel to come, so Heather had to stay behind too. So, like I said, they do send their greetings. If you wouldn't mind, before we dive into a report, I would just like to share something from Scripture with you. It's one thing that we have really just hammered in the Netherlands in teaching our people that Scripture comes first. So I'm just going to live what I preach and invite you to open in Psalm 73. I really enjoyed what Pastor read earlier, and I think it may connect with Psalm 73 as well. But I wanted to give you some background as to the slogan that you'll see on everything that we write. Psalm 73 is a psalm by Asaph. And he says in verse 1, truly God is good. Now, see, this is a southern church, I always expect an amen when I say something like that. But it's been a little bit disappointing. Truly God is good. Amen? Amen. He specifically applies it to Israel in verse 1. God is good to Israel. But after that, he expands that to all those who are of a pure heart, who are pure in heart. God is good. I wish the psalm ended there, Because verse 2 begins where it shouldn't begin. It begins with the word, but. You're not supposed to say, God is good, but. Right? But Asaph does. He says, but as for me, my feet had almost stumbled, my steps had nearly slipped. Verse 3, why he was envious of the arrogant when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I'm forgetting my slides here. I don't have, it is on. You can just, oh, there we go. Are you in control or am I in control? I've got it, okay. So in verse 1, we have truly God is good, but I was envious. All the way through verse 22 in this psalm, he just describes how wicked the wicked are and that they seem to get away with it. You're waiting for God to intervene. Lord, why are you not doing anything? And it's truly frustrating to him. And so then in verse 22, we read that he was brutish and ignorant. I was like a beast before you. And in verse 23, the conclusion he comes to, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand. See, the difference in the psalm is really right in verse 17 when he draws near to God. He goes into the sanctuary and then his perspective is changed and he understands that he needs to remain near to God. I love the script of almost flipped here. We often say God is continually with us, right? And that's true. But here the psalmist concludes, I need to continually be with you. And you've been holding me by my right hand the entire time that I was envious and looking at all the prosperity of the wicked. You've held my hand the whole time. You guide me with counsel after you receive me to glory. And then in verse 25, whom have I in heaven but thee? There's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. In verse 28, to draw this to a close, but as for me, it is good to draw near to God. I have made the Lord God my refuge that I may tell of all your works. It's Dutch custom that when you get baptized, that the pastor will take time beforehand to pick a verse for you. It's called your baptism verse. And when I was baptized, this verse was given to me it became my life verse and just became a very important verse to me, that it's good to draw near to God. And when we make him our refuge, it opens our mouth. We simply want to declare everything that God has done. Now, here's the cool thing. When I met Heather, and I learned that the way to a woman's heart is to set her hair on fire and break her car, it worked for me. She said yes. We found out of each other that we share this verse as a life verse. And that was just a neat thing that we found out one day. And so when we were looking to go on deputation, we decided we would take this verse and make it our theme verse for our ministry. So above all of our stuff, you'll always see that it says, declaring all God's works to the Dutch people, which is quite simply what we want to do. We go there and tell what he has done, which is the gospel. But there's also everything that God does on a day-to-day basis in sustaining and helping and guiding and protecting. And we just declare all that God has done. I'd like to share a short video update. And here's what I did. I took a camera and a microphone. I put it in right outside our building on a really sunny day. You guys did great, by the way. You ordered excellent Dutch weather to welcome me to this evening. Rainy, gray skies. It was perfect. But it happened to be a sunny day. Put that camera outside and I said, anyone that wants to say anything to our American churches, feel free to just press record and I'll put it in a video. Now, as is probably true for you, not everyone loves the camera. So I didn't get that much response, but I did get some. And so these are just some of our people that wanted to say something to you.
Hi, my name is Daniela.
And my name is Danelle. And we have recently joined the church, and we are so thankful to be a part of it. We were both recently baptized, and today we became members of the church.
We are thankful that the Lord placed us in this church, and it's a church full of warmth and great people.
Hello, Baptist Church in America. It's an honor for me to tell you that we all like Daniel, the way he preaches. We like the way he analyzes scripture so that we understand it very well. It's also very nice with the women in our church. Heather is a good pastor's wife. We like it very much. Bye.
Hi, y'all. We are the Ottefangers. We are thankful that the boys are here for their ministry and the dedication to this community and family of people in church. And we are thankful for your support from the States. And it's great that they can visit you all. And we hope that this may continue for a long time. And God be with you all. Regards from the Netherlands.
Bye!
Well, dear family in Christ, perhaps you don't know, but the Netherlands is one of the most darkest places on earth. In this little church, our community, has Daniel a very special place. Because he teaches us with words, but also the way he lives, together with Heather, together with the boy. We have a growing church because people are looking for Jesus, looking for God, looking for something. I will thank you from the bottom of my heart that you make it possible that Daniel and Heather with their boys can stay here in the Netherlands to ring the gospel.
Heather and I want to thank you for your continued prayers and partnership, allowing us to declare all God's works to the Dutch people, if that be through preaching or teaching or leading people to Christ and helping them to develop a closer walk with Him, whether or not that's getting baptized and being joined to the church. It's been incredible to see what God has done. This partnership together has made this possible. We had a great week of camp, and even though there was some sickness involved and it was a hard week, some great things happened with these teenagers as they considered who the Holy Spirit is and how the Holy Spirit helps them to live their lives and to follow Christ faithfully. Thank you for your valued partnership in what the Lord is doing in the Netherlands as we declare all His works to the Dutch people.
Now I know that some of the things that I might share with you, you've already heard, because my dad was here 6-7 months ago in March. But let me bear with me then. It's a country of nearly 18 million people, and I looked it up this afternoon. West Virginia has just shy of 3 million people. But the Netherlands is a third the size of West Virginia. So if you take 6 times as many people and move them all to only one third of this state, then you would approximate what we see in the Netherlands. However, the Netherlands is as flat as a pancake. So all of these mountain things, when we had to go to class at Appalachian going up that hill, I was like, you do this every day, good grief. And we're just not used to anything. But anyway, so that's 1,105 people per square mile. That makes it one of the densest industrial countries in the world. Coincidentally, they are also the tallest people in the world. I think the two coincide. They have to grow out this way, so they have to go that way. We work at Bergen op Zoom. There's 68,000 people that live there. We found out that it has the highest percentage population of Muslims anywhere in the Netherlands. Most of them are Moroccan. and they are a very difficult community to break into. Our City Kids Club, if you've read our updates, you've read about the club that we run every summer. We've had some success sharing the gospel with those kids every summer. As of yet, we haven't seen any decisions made. But as we run that club, we basically run it in the backyard of the mosque that's there. And there's always two or three men that are standing there, you know, watching what we're doing. But the Lord keeps letting us do that ministry, so we're going to just keep doing it. And the fruit is up to Him. I will get this question if I don't answer it now. What does it look like in the Netherlands by way of religion? 55% are nuns. That's not the Roman Catholic kind. That is the we want nothing to do with God kind. Then 20%, they are Roman Catholic. However, most Roman Catholic churches are empty or emptying. And then you have 15% are Protestant. We would get lumped in with the Protestants. I don't bother explaining that we're not really Protestant, but that doesn't matter. And so then that leaves like 5% Muslim, 5% some other type of religion. So once we start asking questions about what is truly a Christian, what is truly to be born again, what is truly to be biblical about your faith, we would end up estimating that about 1% of the population is truly born again. So that answers the question, do we still need missionaries going to the Netherlands? I sometimes get this question. And I say, yeah, not only because the Dutch people have a great need, and the Dutch Reformed theology has taken it in a direction that is so beyond anything you'll ever encounter here in the States. The world is coming to the Netherlands. We have a lot of refugees that come to our country. Heather and I have been involved in some kind of refugee outreach at one point. English as a second language is an opportunity there where you can teach them English. And at some point, they're going to go back home. And so it's an opportunity to have people that end up in your area of influence, and you can share the gospel, you can teach them English and share the gospel, and if the Lord wants to save them, He can send them back to their country as very effective missionaries. So there are great opportunities there. In fact, I'll tell you about another opportunity in just a minute. First, I'd like to just share some stories. As we look at some of these videos, as they play, we do this whenever we have a baptism service, because usually it just works out this way. When we have a baptism service, one person says they want to get baptized, we plan the service, and then we get six others that also want to get baptized. They come out of the Dutch Reformed background, so they were baptized as babies, and then every single time there's a baptism service, it starts itching, like, I really should get baptized. And so we always have people that haven't taken that step yet. And so we decided a long time ago we were going to put their testimony on video so that we can really enforce we baptize people based on their testimony of personal faith. And then they get to take that home. They can show it to family. My son Joel, when he was baptized, took that video to class, got to show it in class. And it's just a very succinct way that you can share your testimony. Plus, I get to edit out all the ums and the ahs and all the long pauses. And so it's just effective use of our time. That's Dutch too. But anyway, so Daniela de Bolijn, you just met her on the video as well. She's a beam of light. She's just really a very happy person. But she found us during COVID. She grew up in the Dutch Reformed Church. Her parents went there. It's just always what they did. And at COVID, everyone was sitting at home. And so she took that as an opportunity to really investigate whether or not she really believes what her parents have taught her that she should believe, and she realized she doesn't. She read the Bible, she came to different conclusions, and ended up finding our website, and has been listening to my sermons for 3 years, and I didn't even know. And so one Sunday, she finally came to church, and she was just really excited to be there and meet me in person, and then she was just really welcomed by all of our people. And she was so very happy. And it didn't take long before she started asking me, hey, I got to get baptized. I know. I found out 3 years ago that my infant baptism is not what Jesus was talking about, and I need to get baptized. Do you have a class? Do you have something? So we started a class. Six others joined. And she's very quiet and withdrawn, but the whole time during that Bible study, I just walked through scripture and every relevant passage we visit, and she's just sitting there the whole time, just nodding like this, just ready. And as soon as we were done with that Bible study, she said, okay, so when can I get baptized? And she was just ready to go. So we picked a date, and on the night before her baptism, her parents launched a full-scale attack on her to tell her how she was wrong, quoting all these Dutch theologians, and she wept. It was really very... I didn't know anything about it. I didn't find out about this until 2 days later. And it was basically a vicious attack, and told her that they would disown her if she did this the following day. That Sunday morning, she showed up, and I didn't know. You couldn't tell. She was still beaming. She was still just happy to take this step. And in her testimony, she very clearly quotes Matthew, I think it's 10, where Christ says that if you don't love me more than father or mother, you're not worthy of me. And she just very simply says, I want to be worthy of him. And she has not had good contact with her parents since. And you don't expect these things happen in the 20th century, right? That you get ostracized like that. But it still happened. So that's her story. But Brian and Hester's screen is blank now, but this is just a fun story, and I'm running out of time, I see, so I'm going to keep it short. But he got saved because one of our members got some bad news from his doctor, and he had to go to a fitness school and take care of some things. And at that fitness school, he met him. He's his personal trainer. And so Bram, our member, he decided, you know what, if I have to do this, then I'm going to take my Bible and I'm going to just share the gospel. And so every single time, this is the way they tell the story because they're funny, is every single time that Brian told Bram that he had to do like 20 lunges, then he told Brian, well, then you need to read 20 verses. And so he would stand there reading verses while Bram was doing the lunges, and he got saved. Took 6 months, but he got saved. Just a really neat story. And he ended up breaking up with his girlfriend, who's Hester, because she wasn't saved. And he realized that this can't continue like this. And so then he started witnessing to her. And then about 4 or 5 months later, she got saved as well. They had a very small wedding. And it's just a beautiful story of how God has done just wonderful things. I don't want to stand here and tell you that all the stories are beautiful. We're also in the middle of the process of church discipline with one of our deacons who we had to remove from office. So there's difficult things that our church is walking through as well. But we are seeing God do wonderful, wonderful things. One thing that's happening, and maybe you're noticing this here too, I hope you are. Over the past 3-4 months, we've had about a dozen families just walk into our church off the street. Not because we evangelized or gave them any kind of contact. They're cold contacts that came in. And they are all saying the same thing. We're just tired of being angry. And we came to church because we know that the church is supposed to be a place of peace. 5 of those families are still with us. The same thing you're dealing with politically here, that air of anger and frustration, we have it in Europe as well. And people are starting to get tired of being angry. And we can be that beacon of light to them that there is someone who takes away all of that anger. And that's Jesus Christ. Oh, I forgot to press play on this. Here's our bath. We don't have something like this. This is great. But what we do is we have a blow-up jacuzzi. And we fill it with water. And it runs overnight, so the water's nice and warm and bubbly. And then we baptize our people in the jacuzzi. We also have some people that just love the sweet water, and so sometimes the people in Zeeland, which is the province over to the west, they like to be baptized outside. Some more stories, just real quickly. We got our City Kids summer program up there. You can see that this year, that's a picture from this year, we had no kids because we got outshined by another kids club. There's Chris's funeral. Some of you may have read about Chris, our pianist, who in August just suddenly went to be with the Lord. And it was very sad. Only 48, leaves behind a wife and 4 kids, 2 of which are adult. And that funeral was incredible. I was very aware that I was in enemy territory. It was a Dutch Reformed bastion, a church there, and 320 people visited, and at least two-thirds of those people did not know the Lord. And his widow and I just unashamedly shared the gospel. And there were a lot of people that looked at me very interested. There were also a lot of people that refused to shake my hand as they left that day. But they heard the gospel. And then we found out that the live stream has been watched over 7,000 times. I don't know what the Lord's going to do with that, but it does thrill my heart. Teen camp, as was already shared, it was a bit of a struggle this year, but God did do some mighty works among teenagers, and you guys are close enough to camps too. You know what camps are like and how helpful they are for teenagers. This year we celebrated 25 years of existence. Our co-workers, Jana and Akay Haskell, they planted the church in 2000, and about 5 years into the church plant, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And so his health just declined, and basically all he could do for the next 10 years after that was kind of keep the church stable. That's all he had the energy for. And so when we came to the field in 2011, they asked us if we would consider working together with them and taking over the work. We did ultimately do that when they retired in 2015. So in the last 10 years, we've seen the church was just primed and ready to go. They'd essentially been waiting. And we have seen an incredible amount of growth in the last 10 years. And I praise the Lord. If I had to write a book on how to grow a church, I'm not sure what I would write. It's definitely something the Lord has done. And ultimately, it comes down to a simple axiom. I preach the word. And he brings the increase. That leads me to share just a couple of goals that we have for that you can pray for. When we were together, you saw that pan of our congregation. We have 55 members, and regularly on Sunday we have more than 100 people attending. That's an indication to me that we need to go into the final phase, that we need to think about graduation. So pray for lay leadership development. There's two men in our church that have great potential to really help assist and lead, and eventually, I hope actually beginning of next year, that they'll be able to stand next to me in the leadership of the church. But then point number two is we really want to find that the guy to take my place, that we can hand it over, and it can be through an internship. We could work together for 2, maybe 3 years as he then takes that over. But I told my deacons before I left, I said, the church is really in a place where, as much as you may not feel this, the church is in a place where I become a hindrance if I stay here, because the church needs to mature. And part of the maturity process is to pay your own pastor. And they don't pay me. They're not allowed to pay me because that would jeopardize my visa. And so that next step is an important step. So please pray for that. It's a 3 to 5 year vision. It's not that we're going to do this tomorrow, but please pray for us with that. And we do plan on going on furlough this summer, and pray for us as we start thinking through all of the logistics of doing that. As we look at the long term, I was asked 2 years ago to be the European coordinator for the European field. So that's about 40 units, missionaries that are in Europe. And our job is to encourage them and to help them when needed. And you know what? It takes a certain personality to be a missionary. And so when you have a type A personality and another type A personality working together, there's conflict. And one of my jobs, is which I really enjoy this part of the job, is to get in the middle of that conflict and help them through. But the reason why I say this is because I said there's something else that the church is doing that's really cool. When Baptist Missions asked me to do this, Christian, our pianist, he said at the time, you know, the church has been asking in what way they can financially contribute to us for years. And I've always had to shut that down because that jeopardizes my visa. And so he immediately said, this is something that we can do that is permissible, that we can support Daniel Boyd's ministry, that we can give back to BMM for the investment that BMM has made through all the churches in the United States in Berachon Upshom. And so they decided that they wanted to always cover all of my European travel when I visit missionaries. And so that's just, I think that speaks well of our church, that they saw that need, saw that there was going to be financial need there as well, and instead of getting that from the States, they said, let's take that burden upon us. So that's a very encouraging thing to me. Another long-term thing that we have going on is Abigail Lucero. She just went through a candidate class. She's on her way to Holland. She came and visited us 2 years ago. And while she was there, she alerted me to a people group in Berachon Upshom that I knew nothing about. And that's the deaf community. And it's apparently quite a large community. And so she is hoping to come to the Netherlands within the next year or two to work specifically with the deaf community in the Netherlands as a part of our ministry in Berachon Upshom. So pray for her as she starts out on deputation. Sometimes deputation for a single lady missionary is a little bit of an uphill battle, but she does a really, really nice job. All right, recruitment. I'm not seeing a lot of young people in here, but that doesn't matter. Recruitment is not just for young people. How can the Lord use you? We have a program that's just a 5-week internship where you can come and see what missions is like. And I even talked to someone tonight, the gentleman right there, that we have a spare bedroom. And if you want to come visit the Netherlands, you are welcome to that bedroom. That is if a Go Dutcher isn't in there. But you're welcome to that bedroom. We encourage that. Really, we do, because you will pray for missions differently if you have spent, even if it's just a couple days with a missionary, and see. You'll see things that we never think to mention. You'll see something that Heather thinks is difficult that she would never write an update, but you'll see it because you're there. And you'll come back and you'll share that with the church. And so please consider that. And we always love having people come to our home. If you're a student, there is a Go Dutch program, and it's always a fun time of just seeing firsthand what missions is like. If you want to stay up to date on what in trends in missions, I highly recommend this podcast. I have learned a lot just listening to it. It's put out by BMM in just what is happening in missions. And it's very, very intriguing to see how, with the changing times, missions is adopting. BMM is staying where they are theologically, but they are adopting to new methods of how they can reach people for Christ. All right, that's my big number. 93%. I will get a question when I open it for questions about our support. We're at 93% of our support. However, I have to be really honest. We might be at 102. We're not sure. We have an individual supporter that has supported us for 3 months now, and that's the benchmark for BMM that support is coming in. But it's kind of a lot of money for an individual, so we're not sure if this is a short-term thing or a long-term thing. So we're hovering somewhere between 93% and 102%. All right. The Dutch, when they ask questions in classroom, they raise their finger. So we're going to do this Dutch style tonight. If you have any questions, raise your finger. Yes, sir.
The Dutch Reformed is
And it's Calvinism on steroids. So it's even beyond hyper-Calvinism. So what you have here in the States for Dutch Reformed churches, they essentially fled what Holland became to maintain what they have here. And so the Dutch, they continued to become either more liberal or even more stuck in the mud. To give you an example, there are people that I know that attend a Dutch Reformed church, and they have attended that Dutch Reformed church for 70 years of their life. And they have never partaken of communion because they don't feel holy enough to partake of communion. And if they were to partake of communion, the elders would visit them that week to ask them, why do you think you're holy enough to partake of communion? Now that's taking Calvinism to a whole new level. That's just one example. When people get saved out of that, when they come to our church, they get saved, they refer to their salvation experience as truly a living faith. They say, we had a form of faith, but it wasn't living. It wasn't alive. And when we got saved, it became alive. Sure.
So the lady is from her family.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm not even sure how they would look at us. So the question is, so Daniela, she was disowned by her family. Would they consider her not saved? She broke the covenant and she stepped outside of the covenant because she got rebaptized. So they would consider her not saved. Any other questions? If there's no questions, that means I did a good job answering them all in my presentation. Or you all just want to really, really want to go home. That could be too.
What's your favorite Dutch meal?
My favorite Dutch meal. So the Dutch are known for their pickled herring, which you're supposed to eat holding the tail. They don't remove it. So you hold the tail, you dip it in some raw onions, and you take a bite like that. I love it. It's amazing. Typical Dutch meal is something with potatoes. So they love mashed potatoes. They'll throw steamed carrots in there and onions. Or a really big favorite is endive lettuce with bacon. Bacon makes everything good. And so it's a mashed potato mix. They call it stumpelt. Any other questions? Have I tried a witch? Actually, I did. I had a corn dog just the other day. Does that count? No? That does not count. Okay, my bad. Small dog?
Slaw.
Slaw dog. Okay, well, there's a Dairy Queen down the road, so on our way out tomorrow, I'll have to catch one. Slaw dog. All right. My time is actually gone, so I'm going to turn it back over to one of the pastors. Thank you for your attention. If you have any questions, meet me out in the foyer. We have some video playing there as well. Take a prayer card, take a water bottle sticker. And if you want to sign up for our updates, if you don't get those yet, you can do that on our website, boydsinholland.com or boydsineurope.com/Daniel and Heather. Thank you.
Let's pray for Daniel and their family as they continue to travel and head home. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Daniel and for Luke, for Heather, the rest of the boys, Lord. We just pray for your blessings upon them, Lord. And we just pray that you continue to strengthen the church there in the city, Father, that they would that you would raise up the right person to be the next pastor so the church can continue to mature and to grow. And Lord, that you would guide Daniel and Heather as they look towards a different stage and role in ministry in the future. We just pray for your help, for your wisdom and guidance and direction in their lives. And Lord, we pray that you be with us as we go home. Give us safety and watch over our families and help us to continue to seek to be making disciples and sharing the gospel here. And Lord, we just are so thankful to hear of the testimonies of these peoples whose lives were changed by the power of the gospel. Lord, thank you for the power of the gospel in our own lives. In Jesus' name, amen.